Now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
You know, I think your brain produces a chemical that blocks out my voice.
What?
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain right here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County. Every show's got a theme, and today's theme is potpourri. Each of my guests has an interesting topic, no two of which are related. My next guest is a senior writer for the Sunlight Foundation, a nonprofit covering the influence in politics. And he's here to explain why President Obama's appointment of William Daley as the White House Chief of Staff is a bad decision. If you want to join in the conversation, you can always call us at 639-0008, or if you're outside of the area code, it's area code 805-639-0008. Paul Blumenthal is a senior writer at the Sunlight Foundation. The Sunlight Foundation is a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization that uses the power of the internet to make government transparent and more accountable. Paul covers influence in politics, focusing on the connections between those in government and those seeking to influence, and general issues that relate to the transparency of government. Paul's work has been featured by National Public Radio, PBS's Frontline, the New York Review of Books, the New York Times, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. He's very well received, and he's been a frequent guest on the show before. Welcome back to the show, Paul. How are you today?
I'm fine. Thanks for having me on again.
Well, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, particularly about a subject that you and I do agree many of the times, but this is one where we might have some discussion that will be interesting, because I will take the other side of the argument. But first of all, let's set the stage for the listeners. Yesterday, President Barack Obama appointed William Daley, who's the son and the brother of two Chicago mayors, to be his White House Chief of Staff. Now, Daley has served on the board of Fannie Mae. He's also been the Secretary of Commerce under President Clinton. But most recently, he has served at J.P. Morgan Chase as on their operating committee in charge of government affairs and policies. And you wrote a rather strong blog entry stating that President Obama's appointment of William Daley to the White House Chief of Staff sends a message that normal people matter less than the continued flow of campaign donations from the uber wealthy. And you contend that this decision is bad for transparency within the government and it's bad for the U.S. people. So explain your thesis for me.
Well, I think that the biggest problem that, you know, this choice represents is that, you know, you have an administration that's looking to do outreach to the business community, and they select somebody who's incredibly close to the business community. William Daley served on boards in the pharmaceutical industry, from Abbott Laboratories to Merck. He's also currently serves on the board of Boeing, which is a huge defense contractor. And in his job at J.P. Morgan Chase, he worked to actually direct the lobbying operation in Washington. He helped hire the director of the lobbying shop in Washington for the bank, which is one of the biggest banks in America right now, one of the most successful banks post-bailout and post-financial crisis.
And one that we did bail out. Go on.
Yes, and one that we did provide money to. It really provides an image of an administration that's trying to become closer to a sector that I think most Americans feel, bilked the American taxpayer, took them for what they were worth, and has left a lot of people in the dust. You know, you see the financial receipts on Wall Street going up, the biggest stock market month since the early 90s was December of 2010, when the jobs report we just saw wasn't terribly great. And now you have somebody coming in who's going to control the flow of information to the president, who, you know, will have Jamie Dimon, the head of J.P. Morgan, on speed dial, who will have, basically anybody from Wall Street, anybody across the sphere of the business community able to talk to, the man who controls the information flow to the president of the United States.
All right, we're talking to Paul Blumenthal, everybody. And Paul, if a person had just come to this planet from, say, Mars, and was looking at the financial situation that the country is in, the recession that we're facing, they might look at that and say, well, this isn't such a bad move. You're putting somebody who has both a knowledge of government and a knowledge of business into a position to try to help the federal government bring the country out of the recession that it's currently in. You know, on the surface, that sounds like a very logical decision. What would you say to that?
Well, some people certainly think it's a logical decision, and the business community has been very welcoming. And, a lot of Daley's old pals have even people who ideologically disagree with him, people like Robert Reich, the former labor secretary under President Clinton, who supported the daily selection. You know, they support this, but at the same time, if you look closely, you see somebody who has supported the kinds of policies that got us into the situation that we found ourselves in 2007 and 2008, with the collapse of the financial sector and the subsequent bailout and the serious level of unemployment that the country sees itself in right now. You know, this Daley signed on to a Chamber of Commerce report that called for even further deregulation of the financial sector. He opposed the regulation of derivatives, which are a huge moneymaker for J.P. Morgan Chase, and, you know, basically opposed certain policies that, you know, a lot of the public sees as already the industries that the policies seek to regulate, is that, you know, the companies already have too much influence in that policy, and here's somebody who's bringing even more influence to a very important position.
All right, well, I take your points, and I hear what you're having to say, but Paul, looking historically at this, and I'm talking about recent history, this is not unprecedented. We had the same thing under the Bush administration when he brought in Hank Paulson, who was at the time head of Goldman Sachs, to be his commerce secretary and to head up, and what turns out to be heads up the recovery when we had the great financial collapse. So there's a precedence for this. Are you saying that in general that this is a bad thing, or are you saying that this particular nomination of William Daley is a bad thing?
Well, I think that this particular nomination is emblematic of a much broader trend and a much bigger problem, which is, you know, exactly what you were just describing about, you know, Paulson being brought in. You know, you have this corridor between Wall Street and Washington that keeps going back and forth. You see these people coming in and out. You have Peter Orszag, the former Office of Management and Budget Director, going to work for Citigroup. You had Robert Rubin leave Treasury Secretary position in the Clinton administration and go to Citigroup as well. And this creates a really unbalanced in politics, where you have this one community that creates a narrative and that creates itself a community within Washington that controls the topic of conversation. And they also control a lot of the lobbying and a lot of the campaign contributions. I mean, this is an industry that has contributed over $6 billion over the past 12 years to lobbying and campaign contributions in Washington.
It was $6 billion, but let's put it into perspective. In the last campaign, which we do have figures for, the 2010 midterm elections, the contributions from the financial sector, which includes real estate, amounted to about $39 million. Which in the grand scheme of things is a drop in the bucket when it comes to all of the political campaigns across all of the states in the United States, wouldn't you say?
Well, I don't know if it's quite a drop in the bucket. I mean, it's really hard for candidates to raise money without raising money from the financial sector. And, you know, the head of the Federal Reserve Bank in Kansas City, Thomas Honig, said specifically in a New York Times op-ed that candidates can't raise money without going to New York. And, you know, there are a lot of invitations for fundraisers in New York for members of Congress from North Dakota or Missouri. And, you know, it seems odd for them to have to travel to a place out of state. But that's really where the money is. I mean, the financial sector is the far and away the biggest contributor to campaigns over the past decade or more.
All right. Well, I'll take that at face value. But last time you were on the show, Paul, we were talking about this, and I believe that this is a bigger, more serious threat to political contributions to campaigns than even the financial sector, and that is the recent Supreme Court ruling that said campaign spending by corporations was a violation of free speech under the First Amendment, and basically it opened up the door for shadow parties or parties in exile to donate large sums of money to political campaigns. And the Republicans used this in the last election and just walked right through using shadow party money to get their candidates elected and created the landslide victory that the Republicans saw in 2010.
Well, yeah, that's absolutely a huge problem, and I completely agree. And the Sunlight Foundation did a lot of work covering the lack of transparency and the amount of money that was spent. And we still don't know quite a bit of the money that was spent from groups like Crossroads GPS, which is registered as a nonprofit but uses political activity. And already today, I've even seen Common Sense 10, which is a Democratic super PAC is already up in North Dakota running radio advertisements in support of Senator Kent Conrad. So, you know, this is just a bad trend in the increase in amount of money and the reduction in transparency around the money that's being spent on our elections and in our politics.
All right. Well, we're talking to Paul Blumenthal, everybody, senior writer for the Sunlight Foundation. And, Paul, I'm going to press on with this line of reasoning for just one more minute. And wouldn't you say, or wouldn't some political analysts say, that William Daley's appointment is in part a reaction by President Obama to the thumping that the shadow parties and these parties in exiles gave the Democrats in the 2010 midterm elections?
I think that you could make that case. I mean, you see the Chamber of Commerce, who spent an exorbitant amount of money running advertisements that, while they weren't electoral specifically in nature, were essentially to elect or not elect certain candidates. And, you know, they've praised the Daley nomination, and Obama has been trying to reach out to the Chamber of Commerce. And I think, you know, it's potentially an attempt to try to negate this kind of spending in campaigns that really swamped a lot of candidates. And you saw, you know, over 60 Democrats lose in the House, and this was very likely made possible by the ability of these shadow groups to be able to expand the playing field for the opposition.
Well, again, looking at this from a political standpoint, as a political analyst, the decision to appoint William Daley seems like it's really a pretty good partisan decision on the part of the president. Daley's the son of Richard Daley and also brother of Richard Daley II, two very popular Democratic mayors in the city of Chicago, which happens to be President Obama's hometown. So doesn't Daley's appointment really show solidarity between the Blue Dog Democrats, as well as strengthen the political ties to President Obama's constituents in Chicago?
I'm not really sure how much the president needs to reach out to Blue Dog Democrats, who are significantly reduced after the past election. You know, there's been a lot of criticism of Obama's administration being a closed circle and that he hasn't listened to a lot of people outside of his specific set of advisors that he brought with him from Chicago to his campaign and into the White House. And I think you're seeing some kind of a shakeup there, but I'm not terribly sure how much William Daley, who served on his campaign committee, is going to bring that much of an outside perspective to what people fear is too close of a circle between Obama and people in his immediate circle, like Valerie Jarrett and Axelrod, who's leaving the administration, and David Plouffe.
All right, we're talking to Paul Blumenthal, everybody, senior writer for the Sunlight Foundation, and the lack of transparency. Sunlight Foundation is all about transparency, but the lack of transparency in the Obama administration really runs contrary to what President Obama campaigned on. In fact, he said that any bill that he was going to look at was going to be posted up on the website so that people could take a look at it. And when it came to big issues like the health care initiative, which sort of got steamrolled through Congress, none of that was available or made available to the public for scrutiny prior to the vote in Congress. So if you, as a member of the Sunlight Foundation, had to rate the president's administration for the first couple of years for transparency, for openness and honesty, how would you rate President Obama as a president on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the best?
I don't know if I really want to give him a number or a letter grade, but there have certainly been serious policies that have been successes, even if they haven't been totally complete, whether it's the open government directive, trying to put most data from the government online, the creation of a website, data.gov, the release of White House visitor logs, which may be somewhat incomplete and don't come out in real time, at least give us a very clear view of who is coming to visit the White House and different members of the White House staff, and his push on a lot of lobbyist initiatives, which we really hope in the new year that you know, maybe he will continue. In the 2010 State of the Union address, he really stated that he wanted to see more serious lobbying reform, and that's something that we really support. And, you know, maybe if I put on my rose-colored glasses, I could say that there's an opportunity for William Daley to have a sort of Nixon goes to China type moment and, you know, help move lobbying disclosure reform down the court. You know, he's an unlikely emissary for such a policy, but anything's possible.
All right. Well, reaching out to the business community is certainly something that President Obama is going to have to do, not only because he now no longer has a majority in the Senate and in the House of Representatives, but because the country is floundering in a recession right now, which the first 2 years of his administration really hasn't been able to stem the tide, despite all the political rhetoric to the contrary. So as I look at this thing from an openness and fairness standpoint, I can understand what you're saying about bringing in William Daley might not be the most open and transparent thing. But on the other hand, if we're looking to get the country out of the recession, try to move people, get them back to work, lower that unemployment level, is this not a good decision to bring somebody in with business experience who can help direct not only the large corporations but small and medium-sized businesses to try to get them back in hiring again?
I think that that's possible, but at the same time, over the past two years or in the past year when the recession is declared to be have ended, business profits have been astronomical. The amount of money being made on the stock market is above and beyond what was made during the boom years of the Clinton administration. And, you know, to say that these policies haven't helped business is, not really to look at the actual numbers of business in America right now, which seems to be doing great despite the inability of normal people in the middle class to be able to carry, to hold water.
Well, Paul, but you bring up, the main distinction, and that is the distinction between Wall Street and Main Street. What you're seeing is if you're a publicly traded company, you have had the luxury of good profits over the last 2 years, and certainly some of the biggest companies, the banks included, have benefited from government bailouts, which helped bolster their profitability. But once you get past the 500 S&P stocks, once you get past any company that's publicly traded on an exchange, and you look at small businesses, mid-sized businesses that are private companies or smaller corporations not publicly traded, they're not enjoying the same fruits of the labor that the larger corporations are. And we really, that's the part of the ship that we need to turn around in order to get the economy back on track. So by bringing in somebody who is maybe perhaps a little bit more business-oriented, such as William Daley, will that not help to bring the small and medium-sized businesses along?
I don't really know whether bringing in somebody who has spent most of their career working for these big publicly traded companies is going to help, privately owned small businesses and their hiring. I'm sure William Daley is an incredibly hard worker, and he was it's been said to have brought NAFTA back from complete death in 1993 when he was brought on as a special advisor to President Clinton. And I'm sure that, he can do a lot of work. It's just a question of whether that work is going to be to support the kinds of companies that he spent most of his life working for, or supporting these kind of small businesses that you were talking about.
Okay. All right. Looking back at the interim chief of staff for 3 months, Pete Rouse, how would the Sunlight Foundation grade him out in terms of his transparency, his openness, or was his tenure too short to really make any judgment?
Oh, well, I think his tenure was fairly short, and, Pete Rouse has had a long career in government and not really too many private commitments. He had continued most of the policies that were implemented prior to him that were championed by the administration. And, I don't think we can really grade or say too much about his short tenure.
All right. We're talking to Paul Blumenthal, everybody, who is a senior writer at the Sunlight Foundation. And, Paul, people might be interested in what you have to say, certainly want to read your blog and learn a little bit more about the Sunlight Foundation. Where would you direct them to go on the Internet so that they could learn more about you and the Sunlight Foundation?
Well, we're located at sunlightfoundation.com, and from there you can find any number of our blogs. We operate a few of them, and you can also find a lot of our projects, our databases of information. We have databases that cover everything from campaign contributions to lobbying to the kind of independent spending that we saw in the 2010 midterms. And we just launched yesterday a new tool which reports lobbyist registrations as they happen. So a lobbyist registers for a certain company, you'll be able to see it as soon as it comes in to to the offices where lobbyists have to register.
Ah, that is great, Paul. We've been talking to Paul Blumenthal, everybody, senior writer for the Sunlight Foundation in Washington, D.C. Paul, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much for coming on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thanks for having me.